Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, I hadn't expected to do a program today. I figured that we'd take it easy and do something a little lighter, given that this is the end of the year and a lot of people are going to be celebrating tonight. I hope if you celebrate that you do it safely. And there's all sorts of reasons to do it safely. So, hope you have a happy new year. But we're going to do a regular program today and take some phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We're going to talk about some items in the news. There are some really concerning things in the news, even as we close out the year. Usually this is a slower news time, but things have seemed to speed up a little bit. So as I mentioned, some of the things that we could talk about, you can always write in and give us your thoughts, too, to our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Be sure to sign your name, at least your first name, and let us know where you are, too. So let's go through a list of some of the big stories, and there's a lot of news. For some reason, here it is at the end of the year, usually a time for a more relaxed news cycle, and there's a lot going on and a lot to be concerned about. So let's talk about some of those things. First of all, and I'm reading from Al Jazeera, but a lot of news agencies have reported this. Washington says that bombers, U.S. bombers, flew over the Gulf to deter Tehran from attacking American or allied targets in the region. U.S. flew strategic bombers over the Gulf yesterday for the second time this month in what Washington says is a show of force meant to deter Iran from attacking American or allied targets in the Middle East. One senior U.S. military officer said the flight by two Air Force B-52 bombers was in response to signals that Iran may be planning attacks against U.S. allied targets in neighboring Iraq or elsewhere in the region in the coming days, even as President-elect Joe Biden prepares to take office and Donald Trump prepares to step down, we hope. Iran's initial response 5 days after the deadly U.S. drone strike was a ballistic missile attack on a military base. So the B-52 mission flown round trip from an Air Force base in North Dakota reflects growing concern in Washington in the final weeks of President Trump's administration that Iran will order further military retaliation for the U.S. killing last January 3rd of top Iranian military commander General Qasem Soleimani. Iran's initial response 5 days after the deadly U.S. drone strike on Soleimani was a ballistic missile attack on a military base in Iraq that caused brain concussion injuries to about 100 American troops. In announcing Wednesday's bomber flight, the head of U.S. Central Command said it was a defensive move. So that's something that we got to be on the lookout for, rising tension between the U.S. and Iran. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell by 19,000, but remained elevated at 787,000 as the resurgent coronavirus outbreak grips the U.S. economy. While at the lowest level in 4 weeks, the new figures released this morning by the Labor Department are nearly four times higher than 1 year ago before the coronavirus attack. And if you want to talk about unemployment, we can talk about that. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here in Florida, hundreds of seniors are forming lines outside COVID-19 vaccination sites around the state. Some are camping out overnight with lawn chairs and blankets to get inoculated. Before the sun had even risen yesterday morning, one Southwest Florida county's vaccine supply for the day was already accounted for, prompting officials to turn down anyone else who is arriving. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has begged for patience from anxious seniors waiting their turn for the vaccine. Now that most healthcare workers and for other first responders are protected against the virus, the governor has prioritized Floridians older than 65 to be next in line for the state's stock of vaccines. State Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried, though, is very critical of the way Governor Ron DeSantis has been handling the distribution of vaccines around the state. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. We'll open the phones in just a moment and take your phone calls. Bill Grace is our phone producer today. Much more news out there, too, in addition to these stories that I've mentioned already. So if you want to send in your comments, you can send them to dj@wmnf.org. Well, as investigators search for a possible motive behind the Christmas Day suicide bombing in Nashville that rocked the downtown area there, injuring three people and destroying several buildings, new details have emerged about the peculiar beliefs of the suspected bomber. And I'm reading this from Yahoo News. NBC News reported Wednesday that investigators have obtained evidence that Anthony Quinn Warner, who died in the explosion, may have subscribed to a conspiracy theory that many of the world's most powerful figures, ranging from Barack Obama to the late Bob Hope, are actually evil, lizard-like extraterrestrials in disguise. Officials told NBC News that investigators who have been questioning friends and acquaintances and searching for clues of a possible motive for the bombing have become aware of statements that Warner made about lizard people conspiracy theories, though it wasn't immediately clear what those statements were. Authorities also reported that Warner made statements to others about hunting possible aliens during previous camping trips that he took in his RV. So-called lizard people conspiracy theory has taken a backseat to some of the newer and more widely publicized baseless beliefs that have come to dominate the conspiracy landscape in the U.S. in recent years. But in a 2013 survey conducted by Public Policy Polling, it found 12 million Americans believe that the country was run by lizard people in suits. In some ways, lizard people believers were a precursor to QAnon, the insidious pro-Trump conspiracy movement that has snowballed from the dark corners of the internet into mainstream social media feeds and even the halls of Congress over the last 3 years. Like QAnon, which was founded on the myth that President Trump is secretly working to dismantle a deep state cabal of satanic pedophiles, the lizard people theory holds that a secret network of blood-guzzling global elites have engineered tragedies from the Holocaust to 9/11. But it gets worse. The nefarious world leaders and Hollywood celebrities responsible for so much misery are not actually humans, but shape-shifting reptilian creatures of alien descent. So that's a story that's out there. You can see this in a report from NBC News, and it's also on Yahoo News if you want to find out more about the Nashville bomber and his peculiar beliefs. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Now, let's get back to something more serious. Let's talk about the still challenged outcome to the presidential election. A Republican senator in Missouri, Josh Hawley, yesterday announced that he would object during the Electoral College certification process when Congress convenes next week, January 6th. Later that day, let's listen to what Senator Josh Hawley said last night on the Fox News show, The Story. This is the senator from Missouri who plans next Wednesday to challenge the results of the presidential election.
You bet. Senator, the reaction to your tweet, the reaction to your choice to object to the certification of Joe Biden has been strong. Here is one of your colleagues, Senator Chris Murphy, who said you were attempting to overthrow democracy. He tweeted this the following. Let's be clear. Those contesting the Electoral College are trying to overthrow democracy. They want to turn America into a state akin to Russia or China, where elections are for show and one-party rules. They won't succeed this time, but they will wound democracy very severely. What is your reaction to that, Senator?
Well, first of all, I don't recall hearing the Democrats make any such outrageous claims when they were the ones who were objecting during the Electoral College certification in 2004 and 2016. Democrats have done this for years in order to raise concerns about election integrity. Now when Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up? I mean, somebody has to stand up here. You've got 74 million Americans who feel disenfranchised, who feel like their vote doesn't doesn't matter, and this is the one opportunity that I have as a United States Senator. This process right here, my one opportunity to stand up and say something, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Let's address that hypocrisy really quickly. Let's listen to another one of your colleagues, Senator Chris Van Hollen, on what he has to say about your move. Listen to this.
This is just grossly irresponsible by Senator Hawley, going and undermining even more public confidence in our democratic process, siding with the false Trump narrative.
Senator Hawley, I hear you pointing out the Democrats did this in 2004. They did it in 2016. Does that mean, by the way, that you think it was appropriate for Barbara Boxer and other Democrats to do that in 04 and 16?
You know, you just played Senator Van Hollen. I think Senator Van Hollen in 2005, January 2005, personally praised the Democrats in the House and the Senate who objected during the certification process, as it was their right to do. I mean, listen, every senator, House member has the right to object if they want to. I mean, it's a judgment call on their part. My view is this, that this is my opportunity to stand up and say something, to stand up and point out that there were irregularities in this election, that there was fraud. Nobody disputes that, by the way, that there needs to be an investigation as to how widespread this fraud was, and there needs to be change. Our election laws need to be changed. We need election integrity measures, obviously, and yet Congress has done nothing, and they won't do anything unless somebody stands up and says something.
Well, that was from Fox News last night. Josh Hawley, the junior senator from Missouri, saying that nobody disputes there was fraud in the 2020 election. That was his claim. Of course, I think there are a lot of people that dispute the claim that there was widespread fraud in the 2020 election, but he said that nobody disputes it. Anyway, he's going to challenge the election results when Congress meets to count the electoral votes on January 6th. That's next Wednesday. Well, there's more news about that, so we're going to get a little bit deeper into that. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. There is a whole host of people that regularly appear on conservative media, and there's a lot of conservative media in this country. Mike Huckabee hosts a show, and last night on his show, an attorney named Sidney Powell, who formerly worked for President Trump alongside with Rudy Giuliani, made this claim about the election. Let's listen into what she said last night.
Well, I think it's extremely unsettling to know that American elections have been just as rigged as elections in third world countries have been. I'm sure the CIA has been involved in any number of those activities. If not here, in other places around the world, it may have been the CIA that created the software and programs to begin with and then exported them for their own use, only to have it come back to us. It could be that, you know, very important, powerful, extremely wealthy people were involved in rigging this election. It's globalist interests. I mean, frankly, everyone in the world, except for the millions of Americans that wanted to elect Donald Trump to clean up the swamp and drain the swamp, want this world to continue the way it was, with them having all the power and working behind the scenes to rig elections and everything else so that they could profit from their own nefarious activities.
You know,
it's massive. I'm sure the media companies are involved in it too. I noticed how the same night, as if they were queued at once, they stopped counting electoral votes and the machines stopped counting in the swing states. It was all timed and planned.
All right, so that was Sidney Powell, who once worked for the president in trying to overturn the election results. She is no longer on that team, but she made that allegation last night with Mike Huckabee. She says American elections are rigged. The CIA might have been involved. Extremely wealthy, powerful people and globalists rigged the election. All right, so that's pretty common talk on conservative media. And you can hear dozens of places, radio, websites, TV, cable, where that kind of talk is going on. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. One of the president's closest allies in Congress has always been the U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. He was on CNBC last night. And he, as you'll hear in the interview, and by the way, you can see these are just portions of interviews. You can see the longer versions of these interviews on the internet, on the Mike Huckabee Show and on Fox News. And this interview, we've got a clip from CNBC. This is Ron Johnson, the Republican senator from Wisconsin. He, in this interview, is backing away somewhat from the president. Let's listen to what he says about the challenges to the election.
Hey, Senator. Senator Hawley has said that he is going to object to the certification of the Electoral College votes next week, at least in some states. At that point, you as a senator will be required to go through the debate for a couple of hours and then vote on whether you think all 50 states' Electoral College votes should be certified. How will you vote?
Well, first of all, this is done on a state-by-state basis. As I keep trying to tell people, that, you know, there's a lot of misinformation on both sides. Some people on our side think that if just one House member, one senator objects, it immediately goes to a vote of the states. And then because we have more states in the House of Representatives, Trump can get reelected. That's not what happens. What happens is every member of the Senate, every member of the House votes to either accept or reject that state's slate of electors. I can't imagine any scenario in which any House Democrats will vote to reject Joe Biden electors. So I think the result is inevitable, but I don't have a problem, as I demonstrated in holding a hearing on the irregularities of the 2020 election, of examining those, discussing them. I actually support what Leader McConnell suggests is a commission set up to examine this. This issue's not going away. There are irregularities that have not been explained. I don't fear information. I know a lot of people say, oh, this is dangerous. It's not dangerous to take a look at problems that did occur, the lack of transparency in too many places, the lack of an audit trail. We need to examine this and hopefully set new rules or pass new laws to correct this for the next election. This is an unsustainable state of affairs in the body politic.
Looking at things and deciding to change it for the next election is one thing, but my question was, would you vote no on any state to not certify their Electoral College results for this election?
Well, one of the things I've been trying to do since I announced my hearing 3 weeks ago is we've been looking at all these irregularities. We've explained many. We haven't explained others. And so I don't know what new evidence is going to be coming up between now and the 6th. I have a hard time believing that there's going to be something earth-shattering. People have been looking at this, but you know, it completely depends on which states and what the issues are in terms of what is being objected to.
Well, that's one of the U.S. senators from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. He doesn't believe anything earth-shattering is going to come up between now and January 6th, but he does say that he wants a commission to examine election irregularities in the 2020 election. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Colin writes this: it's so scary how confidently they pretend blatant lies are true. Just like climate change and pretty much every other issue are on which the right has a position, the complete lack of evidence somehow proves their point. The speculation, innuendo, blatant fiction carry the day, writes Colin. Colin, thank you for that. Let's take some phone calls. We're going to go to Scott and Zephyr Hills. Scott, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi. Good morning, Scott. And happy soon-to-be New Year. Just some point, my wife and I spoke together. It's awful funny that whichever party loses, it's always a cheat. So you get that with both parties. And devil advocate, because I am a Democrat. So you get both parties saying that all the time. I just want to refresh everybody's memory. The Republican National Committee, when there was a hint that Trump was going to get the nomination, I remember Rubio and a bunch of other of the Republican leaders stating, if Donald Trump gets this position, we're going to do everything to overturn it. Then all of a sudden, he gets it, and they're all like fair weather friends. So now you've got Mitch McConnell torpedoing everything Trump's doing. I'm so confused. It's ridiculous. And hopefully Mr. Biden elect and Kamala Harris elect will clean up the mess. But I think it's going to be the same thing we had with President Obama. I remember them saying, we're going to stop whatever President Obama does for whatever reason. We know what the reason was. And we know what the reason is going to be during Biden's presidency. And I just hope that this comes up.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell said they want to make President Obama have a failed presidency very early on in Obama's first term. All right, Scott, thank you. Thank you.
Have a good New Year.
Thank okay, you. Happy New Year to you, too. I didn't expect it to be this, how should we say it, interesting. Let's go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. If I was going to suggest if they're going to have a congressional inquiry into election fraud, that they definitely ought to start talking about money and dark money in elections specifically. And let's get into how certain senators are able to accumulate huge fortunes while they're in office. Where's that money coming from? Who are these organizations, these PACs, with these high-flute-sounding names that are getting money from sources that are once removed at least? We have no idea where this money is coming from. Some cases it may be coming from foreign entities. I mean, if we're really going to get into this stuff, let's just blow the top off of this whole election fraud thing. It starts with money. That's the true election fraud in this country, and that's where they ought to start. If there's anything going on in state and local elections, you get to that. But clearly the first problem with our elections is the influence of dark money.
Yeah, Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot to investigate, too. Dark money, the lack of polling places in some low-income and minority communities. I think you could look at voter suppression, how Greg Palast has pointed out that people that have similar last names, especially last names that are commonly used in the black community and the Latino community, have been struck from the voting rolls. As Palast has pointed out, the claims that people are voting both in Georgia and Maryland turn out not to be true, but people have the same last name or the same name, rather, and they're removed from the ballot. I think the other thing, though, is I do think it's fair to look into the election machines and look into the way they're programmed and look into the code inside the election machines just to make sure that there's nothing, you know, that they can't be tampered with remotely. And I think that's an important question. Johnson doesn't have a bad idea. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I agree with you completely. And I think the Democrats need to sort of play, you know, there needs to be a little jujitsu in this. They should come out strong for that position. Let's just talk about all of it. Because I don't think Mitch McConnell and Ron Johnson and those clowns really want to get into that subject that much.
Yeah, I think the way you can tamper with an American election, and there are many ways you possibly could do it, they all have to be looked at, and let's do it.
Yeah, all right, I think Dave, they'll back off if the Democrats do that. I really do.
Okay, Dave, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Bob in Winter Haven. Hi, Bob, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I've been listening to some of these Republican senators all worried about the integrity of the elections, and yet they didn't pass the or even put up for vote the bill that was passed by the House on election security last spring. If they're so concerned about election security all of a sudden, why weren't they doing something about it last spring when that bill hit the Senate?
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's a partisan concern. They weren't concerned when they thought they were going to win, and now they're concerned when they lose, which is fine. I understand that. That's the way politics works. But, you know, there probably should be some investigation, but don't limit it just to the states where Republicans lost, and don't limit it to the narrow issues that the Republicans want to keep it to.
Yeah, if you're going to investigate, start with Kentucky.
Yeah, there's been a lot of reporting about how Democrats maybe should have won Kentucky in the U.S. Senate race, and people can see those reports.
And if you're going to, I agree with you 100%. If you're going to start investigating all this stuff, start in the Republican states as well.
I think it's fair to have a blue ribbon panel. All right, great. Bob, thank you. All right, and good day to you, too. Let's listen to, we heard from the Republican side. Let's listen to another Republican, but this is a Republican who's critical of President Trump. This is George Conway. He was on CNN yesterday with Jake Tapper. We're going to play part of this interview. Of course, you can see the whole interview at CNN.com. But here's what George Conway said about Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, planning that he would object during the Electoral College certification process next Wednesday.
That's joining me now to discuss conservative attorney George Conway. He was once considered for the Solicitor General position in the Trump administration, but now, of course, has become a Trump critic. George, thanks for joining us. What's your reaction to Senator Hawley saying that he's going to reject the election results and force every Senate Republican to go on the record and say whether or not they side with him or side with the facts and the truth?
Jake, thanks for having me, first of all. It would be comical if it weren't about such a serious matter as the integrity of our election process. This is just the height of absurdity. This election is over. It's over, not just in terms of voters casting their votes, but it's over in terms of what the Electoral College has done. Under the governing federal statute that covers the counting of electoral votes before the joint session of Congress on January 6th, the only thing that Congress can do is consider objections right now to whether or not there were forged votes from the electors. The electors have been certified by the governors of all the states, including the states that Trump has contested. And because of that, under the governing federal statutes, those votes from those electors have to be taken as valid, unless there's some reason, like, you know, it's written in crayon or something, that they don't have to believe that they don't have the proper certificates before them. The only thing that's left to do is to open the ballots, which is the votes, which is what the Vice President Pence is supposed to do, sitting as president of the Senate, and for everyone to count them together and get to 270, and they'll get to 306 for Joe Biden, and he'll win. That's the way it's supposed to work. The objections process only should come into a play when there weren't certified electoral slates from the states that were that met the safe harbor date of December 8th. There's just no basis for which to consider anything that happened in any of the states, and whether there be, you know, these false allegations of fraud, or even if there were legitimate allegations of fraud, there'd be no basis to consider them on the floor of Congress.
Obviously, we have seen courtroom after courtroom, election board after election board, governor after governor, Democrats, Republicans, independents, et cetera, reject all of this nonsense. And it doesn't even matter anymore. We see President Trump tweeting out just utter crap, like the Secretary of State of Georgia's brother works for a Chinese company. No, he doesn't. And they don't care anymore, right? Not that they ever did. It just sits there on his Twitter feed. But Josh Hawley's a smart guy. Ted Cruz is a smart guy. And they're aligning themselves with this stuff that the Supreme Court just threw out the window. Tell us why you think that is.
Well, obviously, they think there's some political advantage to be had for doing that. These two men are very smart lawyers. Josh Hawley went to the law school I went to, Yale Law School. He knows how to read a federal statute. The federal statutes here in Title III of the United States Code are perfectly clear as to what's supposed to happen. And what's supposed to happen on January 6th is that Joe Biden will win. Same is true of Ted Cruz, who offered to litigate that crazy case before the Supreme Court, if it ever was going to be granted by the Supreme Court for a plenary hearing, which it never was. This is just, as you said in the opening, it's a performance stunt.
So here's my question, George. It's obvious performance and it's obvious for political gain, but isn't there a risk now for instance, all the Senate Republicans who are up for re-election in 2022, like John Thune, right? John Thune in South Dakota, one of the Senate leaders, very conservative Republican, but he made the mistake of acknowledging reality that Joe Biden won. And then Trump started attacking him. Couldn't this move by Josh Hawley force John Thune to vote against President Trump and thus open an opportunity for somebody to primary John Thune and a Republican primary for when he runs for re-election, because there is now this anti-fact, anti-truth groundswell of support among Trump supporters?
Well, if that's true, then I guess the path to success in the Republican Party is to continue to degrade it. And what we're seeing here is a never-ending downward spiral into delusion and unreality and into just lies about the integrity of our democracy. And that is profoundly dangerous. These individuals are seeking to advance their own political careers and do so at the expense of trust in our democracy. They're fomenting these lies, fomenting these fears of an illegitimate election, and they're doing so for their own political benefit, and it's destructive of democracy. It's horrible, and nobody's ever done this before.
So one of the things that Hawley says, so just permit me to ask this question. One of the things, I'm having a difficult time doing it with a straight face, I confess. One of the things he says is, I have to do this because there are so many voters out there that are concerned about the election integrity, and I need to stand up for them. Fact check that for us.
The fact check is the reason why these people are concerned is because they're being lied to. And people like Hawley are sticking up for the lies or not countering the lies. The source of all of these fears that people have about an election, to the extent they actually have them, is from the lying of the President of the United States and his enablers, which include not just his campaign, not just his lawyers, such as they are, but include members of Congress. It's simply appalling.
Do you think that, I guess you're not a Republican anymore.
All right, so that was an interview yesterday on CNN with George Conway, the former Republican who is now critical of President Trump. He's registered as an independent now with Jake Tapper. You can see the whole interview at CNN.com. All right, he talked about how the belief that the election was stolen is based on lies, and the lies start at the top with President Trump and what President Trump has said. Well, next week, next Wednesday, 4 rallies in Washington, D.C. to demand that Congress overturn the results of the presidential election, which their participants falsely view as illegitimate. I'm reading this from the Washington Post, are scheduled on the day Congress is set to convene to certify Electoral College votes declaring President-elect Joe Biden the winner. The events will be headlined by Trump's most ardent supporters, including recently pardoned people like George Papadopoulos, a foreign policy advisor to Trump's 2016 campaign who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI during its Russia investigation, and longtime ally Roger Stone, whose sentence for seeking to impede a congressional probe into a Russian election interference was commuted by Trump in July before being upgraded to a full pardon. Formal rallies are planned most of the day and will draw pro-Trump demonstrators to the Washington Monument, Freedom Plaza, and the Capitol. But online forums and encrypted chat messages among far-right groups indicate a number of demonstrators might be planning more than just chanting and waving signs. Threats of violence, ploys to smuggle guns into the Washington, D.C. district, and calls to set up an armed encampment on the Mall have proliferated in online chats about the January 6th day of protest. The Proud Boys, members of armed right-wing groups, conspiracy theorists, and white supremacists have pledged to attend the rallies on January 6th. Let's go to the NBC affiliate in Washington, D.C., Channel 4. This is what they reported last night about these protests that are scheduled for next Wednesday.
This time next week, thousands of people are expected to be here in the district to protest the 2020 election as local businesses prepare for potentially violent clashes between opposing groups. Some are temporarily closing. News 4's Corey Smith has the story.
Multiple groups have applied for permits for First Amendment activity on January 6th, the day a joint session of Congress will validate the election results. Given the recent violence that's erupted at previous election-related protests, some local businesses are preparing for the worst. The Hotel Harrington and Harry's Bar, two spots known to be frequented by far-right group the Proud Boys, announced they'll close for part of next week. In a statement, the hotel said, quote, "While we cannot control what happens outside of the hotel, we are taking additional steps to protect the safety of our visitors, guests, and employees. We will not be accommodating guests with the exception of our long-term residents who call our hotel home."
I know somebody that's coming up here that's involved with them.
Some D.C. residents, like Karen Jennings, concerned about the potential for unrest, say the bar and hotel made the right decision.
They don't want the bad publicity because they have to be here when those guys leave in 2 or 3 days.
You have to be very, very thoughtful of other people. Your actions can cause consequences for other people.
The leader of the Proud Boys says the bar and hotel are not meetup spots for the group, which still plans to fan out across the district next week. Earlier this month, the Proud Boys clashed with anti-fascist protesters and stole a Black Lives Matter sign from a church before burning it. Despite chatter on far-right social media sites calling for violence, MPD told News 4, quote, "While MPD does not discuss operational tactics, as with any known large demonstration, we will continue to monitor and assess each activity. While we are not aware of any credible threats across Washington, D.C., we urge our community to report any suspicious behavior or online postings to the proper authorities." Several downtown hotels tell News 4 they're aware that they've been mentioned as alternative places to stay and are implementing security and safety plans, but none said they would be closing. Meanwhile, MPD says they'll release information on traffic and other security measures in the coming days. Corey Smith, News 4.
Now, this afternoon, Black Lives Matter D.C. issued a statement calling on the mayor, police, and local hotels and businesses to, quote, tell the racists that they're not welcome in our city. They also encouraged their supporters to avoid the protesters on January 6th.
All right, so that report you can see at the NBC4 News website in Washington, D.C. That's where I got that from. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. So you've got people saying that the election was stolen, it was rigged. You've got people saying that they're going to challenge the results. And you've got this protest coming up on January 6th, or four protests coming up, a series of protests in Washington, D.C. And then you've got some former Republicans who say, wait a minute, this is not either legal or the smart thing to do to challenge the election, because the elections, electors have already been authorized by the states. The states conduct their own elections, and they decide what the rules are, and they've selected the electors, and those electors are going to be counted on January 6th. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Doug, thank you for calling. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, Rob. I'm just going to repeat some of the things that other people have already said. I agree entirely. Let's do the investigation so we can put away the dog whistle. I mean, it's been taken to numerous courts, and I'll cut to the chase. I mean, even the Supreme Court, which was filled a third by Trump, denied his claim. Let me move on.
Well, let me just say this about the Supreme Court. Now there are people pushing a conspiracy theory that John Roberts had Antonin Scalia killed in order to be able to replace him. I mean, the conspiracy theories are like coming out like a lava from a volcano. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I guess the next thing I really wanted to get to, you know, the last... justice that was put on the court, you know the history of it, they wouldn't do a vote when Obama had a chance. They could have done up or down, and they could have easily defeated it. All of a sudden, now it's okay to do a vote, you know, for president going to an election year. I think Bernie Sanders really needs to stand his ground and filibuster this defense bill. You can shut down the government. Maybe that's not a very happy thing to do. But stand your ground. The Democrats have to, you know, have a play in this now. And do an up or down vote on the $2,000. Nobody's going to lose their $600. They said check 30 going out. Do an up or down vote on $2,000. And do your military bill.
Yeah, why do you think McConnell is standing in the way of the up or down vote on the $2,000?
I would guess it's because he doesn't want Republican senators to vote on it.
Not to get him on record. All right, Doug, thanks a lot. Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you.
All right, we have all men in the queue, so if you're a woman, it would be great to hear from you. Here's the number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Greg in Tampa. Hey, Greg, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I can't help but think of Thomas Pynchon's famous line in Gravity's Rainbow, if they get you asking the wrong questions, they don't have to worry about the answers. And this charade is a prime example of that. Previously mentioned to you a while back a wonderful book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. It was actually written in the 19th century. And if anybody wants to get a handle on what can happen to the mindset of basically a mob, that's a wonderful place to start. But things have gotten much worse since then. And I was also thinking while I was on hold of this quotation from Garry Kasparov, the chess master turned activist, and he says, the point of modern propaganda isn't only to misinform or push an agenda. It is to exhaust your critical thinking, to annihilate truth. And the worst thing about this is that the media, for the most part, doesn't adhere to the standards which would call out things like hypocrisy and lying the way they used to be called out back in my day, you know, 30 or 40 years ago when I was being educated about all this stuff. And today we just get so wrapped up in the intensity of the moment. I mean, the things that you just read, the point you just mentioned about the idea that somehow the Chief Justice was involved in the killing of Scalia is, you know, from any proper perspective, insane, clinically insane. Yet that's what we talk about on a regular basis. And the more we talk about it, the more inert we become to understanding just how crazy all this is. So I really worry about public discourse going forward. Will we ever be able to get back to a place where we say, wait a minute, just hold on, this is crazy, this is a lie, this is propaganda, we're not going to indulge in this.
I think by going through this, we're learning how to do it. I think by going through this process, we're no doubt there's a fire hose of propaganda and misinformation aimed at Americans right now. And some of it, you know, I suspect is not domestic, but it's coming from other places, hoping to make the country unglued. But I think that we're learning how to handle it. I mean, by dealing with it, and let's hope that there are some outlets that are dealing with it in a thoughtful way, in a calm way, and pointing out the delusions that, okay, all right, we take a breath, we take a look, we look for facts, we look for sources, we look for footnotes, and then, okay, now we are in a better place to handle as you point out, the way propaganda works and the way it triumphs is that it's a fire hose of BS coming at the public. And but we need to take a step back, take a deep breath, but examine it in a smart way.
Yeah, well, thank God for MNF. But I have to just quickly comment. When I was on hold, I heard that Sidney Powell comment. And I consider myself an educated person, and I was inflamed when I heard that. So even with the best understanding of things, the instant power of this crazed propaganda is undeniable. I mean, you know, I'm glad I can turn to something like MNF rather than just go out the street and start screaming.
Okay. Greg, thanks a lot. Thank you. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Yvonne, who's in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Yvonne. Welcome to the program. What would you like to say?
Hi there. I am not a liberal and I am not a conservative. I'm kind of in between, listening to both sides. So I do have a question. Biden's going to become president. I do know that. If after that they find fraud, significant fraud, what could happen at that point? That's where I'm lost.
Yeah, at that point, I don't think the election could be overturned. You couldn't remove Biden from office unless it was proved that he was involved in the fraud. Which I think it would just be a really, I mean, it's not true, but that's the only way you could remove him if that's what you're getting at. But the other way to deal with it, let's say that there was widespread fraud. Well, the only way you get to the bottom of that is to have an impartial commission looking at the voting machines, looking at the voting lists. And as we heard Ron Johnson say, there's really no evidence of any sort of widespread fraud, and he's a Republican. Now he's open to hearing from more. He's open to getting more information, but he says that at this point, unless there's something earth-shaking, Joe Biden's going to become president. So
I think he will become president, but I listen to both sides, so I hear all these things that do sound plausible. So I don't know what would happen. It concerns me that it'll come to light after the fact, and then what? So he's in office, and maybe he shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think that's going to happen only because you would have to have manipulated tens of thousands of votes in four states, and you'd have to have some sort of central conspiracy. And
but my question is, what if? That's where I'm. threat? Well, what if?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it would go, but I guarantee you it didn't happen. Because
we don't know. I mean, I'm not convinced one way or the other.
Only in Hollywood movies do you have widespread conspiracies involving thousands of people. I mean, the conspiracy would have to involve thousands of people, and every one of them would be sworn to secrecy. And you know, usually, if you get a group of three people together, one of them can't hold the secret if they have a you know, some sort of secret agreement. You're talking about thousands of people. Yvonne, thanks a lot. Thank you for the call. Okay, I don't think she liked my answer, but thank you, Yvonne. Let's go to James and Ruskin. James, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, I'd like to mention that New York Times article that appeared a few days ago about the 14th Amendment, Section 3, where the 126th or something like that, Republican congressman joined the suit with Texas to discredit the elections of those states so it would overturn the election. Has anyone mentioned that, or have you?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're getting at. You're talking about the attorney general in Texas who went to the Supreme Court along with the help of Florida's attorney general and Republican attorneys general from around the country trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the election, and that failed, and the Supreme Court decided not to take the case. You're talking about that?
Yes, yes. Some people determine that as a violation of Section 3, 14th Amendment.
Well, by the Texas attorney general just making that motion to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes, there's a large article on New York Times about it. I don't see the date right now, but it came out a few days ago. It was brought up by a congressman from New Jersey.
All right. Well, James, just tell us who the authors are so people can look it up themselves.
The authors?
Yeah, of the New York Times story.
Okay. Luke Broadwater, Chris Cameron, and Andy Newman.
Okay. James, thanks a lot. I don't have the article in front of me, so I'm really not up to speed on that, but thank you very much.
Yeah, it came out on December 11th.
All right. Thank you for that. I don't remember reading that article, I got to say. And let's go to David in Pasco County. David, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
I just want to wish you, Rob, and all the WMF staff and listeners a healthy and happy new year.
Thank you. And back at you. Thank you.
I'd like to congratulate Randy on his career at WMNF. And I understand he's retiring as program director, but he's going to keep on with programs.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to hear that Mary and Arlene say that a moment ago. I'm not sure what the exact date is on that, but
today.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. Yes, but Randy's working today, and I think he's going to be around for a while.
Well, Rob, if you ever decide to retire from news director, I hope you would stay on and do your program, because your program and Marcy and Frankie on the Retro Jukebox and Dennis Stone on the Dream Clinic, you know, some of those are the most important shows on MNF in my mind, and you don't realize what you lose until they're gone. I can think of shows like Straight Talk with Connie Burton and Otis Anthony. I can think about Tom Henderson with the Bluegrass. I can think about Phil and Bill with the 60s and 70s show. I think about Charlie, who used to be there years ago. I enjoyed his show, and I miss Vicky from, you know, that's a long time that we lost Vicky.
Well, I'm glad you remember all these great shows, and those were great shows, are great shows, and I'm sure, you know, we've got a whole host of younger programmers on the air, too, and I think in years to come, they're going to be remembered as really great shows, too. David, thanks a lot.
And Rob, as far as the buildup in the Persian Gulf, I was interested to see that, and also, in addition to the B-52s, a U.S. submarine slipped through the Straits of Hormuz into the Persian Gulf, accompanied by two U.S. warships. And also, there's an aircraft carrier in the Gulf that has F-18 Hornets, and all of them have nuclear strike capabilities. And you got to say, what an amazing plane the B-52 is to fly nonstop from North Dakota and fly over and then return. I mean, they must fly over the North Pole.
Yeah, that is amazing. Well, let's hope the president is not bent on war with Iran. David, thanks a lot.
God bless all of our troops and keep them safe.
Thank you, David. Thank you. And let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Rob, good morning. You know, I think that Josh Hawley has political aspirations. He wants to keep the Trump base, and Sidney Powell just completely out of her mind. And I think that that's exactly what's going on. And as far as you know, what interesting, Rob, the Al Gore voters back when there was a very, very close election, a lot of people thought Al Gore won. Interesting, the difference between the Trump voters. Al Gore voters would never, you know, even Al Gore himself was presiding over saying that there'll be no objections. George Bush is the president.
Yeah, by this time in the process, Al Gore had already given up, and yet we know that had all the votes been counted in Florida, Al Gore would have won.
Yeah. I know. So that's the big difference with these people. You know, Rob, I've got a great memory, as you know, and I remember a lot of shows on WMNF. I want to ask you if you remember this one. In 2014, there was an interview with Ken Blackwell from Ohio with one of your field reporters from WMNF. Do you remember that?
I do not know that. Ken Blackwell was the Republican Secretary of State. Some people were very concerned that John Kerry's election in Ohio was lost because of some, you know, underhanded dealings there in Ohio.
Exactly. And I think it was one of your few reporters at WMNF, if I'm not mistaken. He was so rude to him. He was even almost like threatening him. He wanted to ask him about that. He said, listen, this is him. Now talk to him, Blackwell, to this reporter. Let me tell you something, buddy, okay? Listen, I mean, there was no discrepancy there. There was nothing there, you know, and it's not, and, you know, for you to bring it up, you better watch it.
All right. Yeah, you know, I don't remember the interview. I'll try to look it up. Danny, thanks a lot. Happy New Year. Thank you. All right. Jeff writes this. If this next plan to overturn the election on January 6th does not work, is that the end of the effort, or do they have another plan to overturn the election after that? No, this is their last big attempt to overturn the election, and that's why the big protests are going to be there next Wednesday. They don't have a plan B after this. Although it is interesting, if you read some of the conservative websites, some Proud Boys are planning to go to Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day and dress up as Biden supporters and then reportedly want to cause trouble on Election Day. But they want to blend in with the other people who are there who are Biden supporters. Jerome writes this, another Republican representative with blinders on. They keep saying 74 million Americans feel disenfranchised, totally dismissing the 80 million Americans who voted against the impeached president. By the way, welcome to the feeling of disenfranchisement that many, many of your fellow Americans have felt this way for way too long, writes Jerome. And then Jan writes, if the Democrats were going to steal an election, the most important one to steal would have been Mitch McConnell's Senate seat in Kentucky, writes Jan. Yeah, I think that's a good point, is that there were many Democratic defeats in the November 3rd election. And I always wonder if the election system was able to be hacked, why did the Democratic hackers forget to win all those congressional and U.S. Senate seats that were close? Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Liz, we just have about 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I'm calling about, just the propagation of all this misinformation and what we can do. And I was so disappointed to hear your female caller a couple calls ago saying she still doesn't even really know if she believes that the election was real. This is real normal people every day doing this. I just spent an extra half an hour of unpaid time on talking to a client about the realities of how this vaccine was made, how science makes vaccines now, that they're not shooting you with full viruses. This is a real problem, even for regular, smart, everyday people that we know that have gotten a hold of bad information and they just can't quite reconcile it. This is an issue for us, and we all have to take it as a personal responsibility to educate people and talk to them about what's real and what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the top of my list, I wouldn't trust Fox News talk radio, commercial talk radio, and conservative websites, which are just known for misinformation. Liz, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. There is a vaccine that's not reliant on the it's more reliant on the old-fashioned technology than the new technology. So there is an alternative that was just approved this week in Great Britain. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back on Monday. Have a safe and happy New Year. Thanks to Bill Grace, our phone producer today. This is W.